This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos at the Wall Street Journal's annual WSJ Tech Live Conference held in Laguna Beach, California. All this week, we're bringing you the latest headlines from the event, as well as onstage interviews from the conference. Tuesday, one of Amazon's top executives spoke about efforts the company plans to take to preserve customer trust following reports about its sale of unsafe or expired goods. Amazon's worldwide consumer CEO, Jeff Wilke, spoke on stage with the Wall Street Journal's editor-in-chief, Matt Murray, at the event. We'll get to that conversation, but first, a few tech headlines. In danger of running out of cash in the coming weeks, WeWork has accepted a rescue offer from SoftBank. The Wall Street Journal was the first to report that the Japanese conglomerate won approval from WeWork's board to take control of the shared workspace startup, a deal that's expected to value the company at $8 billion. SoftBank, which already owns about a third of the company, had valued WeWork at $47 billion back in January. The deal gives co-founder Adam Neumann nearly $1.7 billion and severs most of his ties with the company. As previously reported, Mr. Neumann was forced out as CEO last month after pushback from prospective investors scuttled WeWork's IPO. Lyft has made a first public commitment about its timeline to profitability. On stage at WSJ Tech Live on Tuesday, co-founder Logan Green said the company expects to be profitable on an adjusted earnings basis a year ahead of analysts' expectations. That is, before factoring in costs such as interest, taxes, and depreciation. Lyft expects to reach this milestone by the end of 2021. Lyft and its larger rival Uber have been under pressure from investors to show a clear path to profitable growth. Lyft's stock price soared by about 10% at one point after the announcement was made. The stock closed up by more than 6%. The top prosecutor investigating tech giants like Facebook and Google made it clear that no measure is out of his reach. Tuesday at the WSJ Tech Live conference, Macon Delrahim, head of the Justice Department's growing antitrust division, said that while there's no doubt consumers enjoy the improvements from the technology revolution, questions about potential anti-competitive behavior still remain. Mr. Delrahim went on to discuss whether big tech companies are abusing the market power that they have gained. And while he didn't discuss the department's examination of specific companies, The Wall Street Journal previously reported that his boss, U.S. Attorney General William Barr, is pushing a broad antitrust review looking at Facebook, Google, Amazon, and Apple. Coming up, the steps Amazon says it's taking to prevent the sale of counterfeit goods, expired food, and dangerous products on its platforms. The Wall Street Journal's editor-in-chief sits down with one of Amazon's top execs here at WSJ Tech Live. More after this. We're back from the WSJ Tech Live 2019 conference in Laguna Beach, California, where on Tuesday, Amazon consumer chief Jeff Wilke took the stage for a conversation with journal editor-in-chief Matt Murray. In recent months, the tech giant has faced a wave of reporting about its sale of unsafe or expired goods, including a story in the Wall Street Journal detailing the availability of more than 4,000 items that had been declared unsafe by federal agencies. Speaking here at the event, Mr. Wilke addressed the issue, noting that Amazon could lose its status as a trusted brand if the perception builds that it isn't policing the products it sells.
We have, if you look at almost every trust-based marketing survey in the world right now, we have, you know, either the top one, two, or three most trusted brand in the United States and in every country that we serve. But we know that we could lose that very quickly if we don't keep our eye on the ball. So this is why we're spending $400 million a year on the counterfeit issue. That's why we have 5,000 people working on it. We are going to continue to be vigilant and make sure that we protect the interest of customers and consequently our reputation.
At a time when big tech faces increased criticism and attention from both consumers and regulators, Mr. Wilke addressed where the company stands in the face of scrutiny.
The reason we welcome scrutiny is we think the things we're doing are great for customers and great for citizens. Mm-hmm. And so if you believe that, you're fine with scrutiny. Mm-hmm. We are growing. We're substantial. We think we deserve the scrutiny. But again, when I look at retail, which is our competitive set, it's a giant market. It's probably $25 trillion. Mm-hmm. And we represent worldwide a little over 1%. And in the U.S., you know, maybe 4 to 5%.
And do you differentiate, or how do you differentiate between just to be clear, user data and usage data. So you have my user data, my name and other details of me I've given you, and you have my usage data, what I've bought. Are they organized separately within how you think about the data and how you use my data?
For a specific recommendation for you, we might look at your past purchases. So for example, if you come to buy toothpaste, you may see a widget at the top if you search for toothpaste that says, you know, reorder this toothpaste that you bought last time. That's tied to you. Mm. But we also will look at things that you bought and then what you bought next, like we do for all customers. And that's more of an anonymized, you know, kind of people who bought this also bought. That's just feeding into a machine learning or other algorithm to see if you can improve the results. Less personalized.
One of Amazon's many divisions is Amazon Devices. Wilkie shared where he sees the tech going and how he expects the device landscape will evolve in the near future.
I think the Alexa and other voice AIs are going to get better and better and better. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we've come out for recently, which I think will, I hope will catch on everywhere, that is that your devices should have multiple simultaneous wake words. In other words, I think what's going to happen is just like I don't have just one friend I ask all questions to, and then that friend is a router for everybody else. I have friends that I ask financial questions to, and friends that I ask music questions to, and friends that I ask...
Well, that's almost like a separation of hardware and software from what you have now, or like an app store approach
to it. The software could be... You could still have a world where there's hardware and software written by one company, but what we think is consumers will want is that any hardware should answer to any AI, and... That's going to be a better experience.
So like an app store, essentially, for Alexa.
For voice AI, except that you would just say to your phone, Alexa, you know, say I had a Google phone, I should say, Alexa, you know, what's the weather? Mm. And it should be just as easy as if I said, hey, Google or Siri or anybody else.
Looking to the future, drone delivery remains one of the key technologies Amazon is investing in. And despite the progress the industry has made, Wilkie talked about the challenges that stand in the way.
Drones will make their mark when they're safe and cost-effective. Now, there's some big pros to them. They because they can fly over traffic, they can be much more deterministic in the ability to meet a delivery promise that's really short. They're really good for the environment. They're electric-powered, so you can run them on renewable energy. They're very sustainable. That's terrific. But there's a lot of engineering work. And you see it, all the announcements right now are pilots, you know, on relatively small scale because there's a lot of...
What's the biggest challenge? Is it, I mean, they'll fly distances. Is it that last specific getting to the right doorstep, landing without hurting people, whatever? I mean, what's the hardest part of it?
We can do that pretty well. It's what if you have bad weather in the middle of a flight? It's as there are more... drones in the airspace, how do those drones interact with helicopters, for example? And I know the FAA is spending a lot of time thinking about that. So you have multiple vehicles in the airspace and making sure that they all can communicate with each other. You know, forward flight for these things and turning and stuff is, I mean, it's an autopilot. Yeah. And we're, as a society, we're pretty good at those. People have different approaches to how you land. For the approach that we're doing, the hardest part was this transition. We go up, out, and then you have to slow down and land. And that one, sort of slowing down and landing, is always hard for transitional vehicles. And we've done some really cool stuff with software to figure that out.
Be sure to check back throughout the week for more coverage from the WSJ Tech Live conference. This has been Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in Laguna Beach. Thanks for listening.